Morning, everyone. Put up your hand if you've ever seen or maybe even been involved in an argument with somebody over something a bit like that argument with the coat. Who's ever fought with somebody over something? I don't believe anyone under the age of 10. who thought the coat belonged to Amanda? Anyone? Anyone think the coat belonged to Claire? Who thought Jeff did a good job of trying to figure out who the coat belonged to? Just a few. Well, today's Bible story is about two women who have an argument a bit like the one that Claire and Amanda had. And it's about how Solomon gets to the bottom of it. But we're going to see that the women in the story are arguing over something that is much more important than a coat. I'm going to read from 1 Kings 3, verses 16 to 28. One day, two prostitutes came and presented themselves before King Solomon. One of them said, "Your Majesty, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a baby boy at home while she was there. 2 days after my child was born, she also gave birth to a baby boy. Only the two of us were there in the house. No one else was present. Then one night, this woman's son died in his sleep. She got up during the night, took my son from my side while I was asleep, and carried him to her bed. Then she put the dead child in my bed. Next morning, when I woke up and was going to nurse my baby, I saw that it was dead. But when I looked more closely, I saw that it was not my child. But the other woman said, 'No, the living child is mine and the dead one is yours.' The first woman answered back, 'No, the dead child is yours and the living one is mine.' And so they argued before the king. Then King Solomon said, 'Each of you claims that the living child is hers and that the dead child belongs to the other one.' The king said, 'Bring me a sword.' And when it was brought, he said, 'Cut the baby in half and give half of it to each woman.' The real mother, her heart full of love for her son, said to the king, 'Please, Your Majesty, don't kill the child. Give it to her.' But the other woman said, 'Don't give it to either of us. Go on and cut it in two.' Then Solomon said, 'Don't kill the child. Give it to the first woman. She is its real mother.' When the people of Israel heard of Solomon's decision, they were all filled with deep respect for him because they knew that God had given him the wisdom to settle disputes fairly." There's quite a lot that is shocking about this story. A woman steals her friend's baby. Solomon gives an instruction to cut that baby in half. It's also a story which couldn't really happen today. Today, a trip to the hospital and a blood test would show Solomon who the mother was. And yet, this story has a great deal to teach us today as we look at the thoughts, words, and actions of Solomon and of the two women. The situation that these women bring before Solomon is a critical one. One woman has suffered the loss of her child through his tragic death, and the other woman risks losing her child through deceit and injustice. But the different ways that these two women respond to their situation show us the best and worst of human nature. When Solomon brings his sword and gives the order to kill the child, the baby's mother says, "Please, Your Majesty, don't kill the child, give it to her." She cares for her baby so much that she's prepared to let him be handed over to another woman. She's willing to endure losing him in order to save his life. We worship a God who chose to bring suffering upon himself to relieve suffering in others. Let's pray that, like the first woman in the story, our hearts would be selfless, loving, and compassionate, even when it hurts us. However, while the first woman responds in selfless love, the second responds in selfish anger. Don't give it to either of us. Go ahead and cut it in two. Now, we mustn't forget that this woman has suffered a terrible loss. It's hard for most people to imagine what she must be thinking and feeling. Still, there's no getting away from the bitterness of this second woman's heart and from the cruelty of her response. There are good ways and bad ways to deal with suffering and loss. Have a look at the pictures that are on the screen. Put up your hand if you recognise either of these people. Put up your hand if you can tell me who is the one on your left. Who can tell me the one on your left? Spider-Man, that's right, okay. Most people probably recognise Spider-Man, but you'd have to be possibly a certain age to recognise this one on your right. Put up your hand if you can tell me who this one on the right is. Go on. That's right, this is Lotso, okay? Lotso is a bear from the movie Toy Story 3. If you haven't seen it, it's a good movie. Both of these cartoon characters have an experience of suffering and loss which changes them. Spider-Man loses his uncle when he's killed in a robbery. Lotso suffers rejection. He goes missing, but he returns home to find that his owner has replaced him. But Spider-Man deals with his suffering by deciding to become a superhero. He works hard to make sure that others don't have to suffer like he has. Whereas Lotso becomes bitter. He works to bring suffering on all the other toys he meets. He wants to make sure that everyone feels as bad as he did. And this is the attitude that we see in the second woman in the story. And it's also an attitude that we can see in our world today. The Bible tells us that our sufferings should produce perseverance, character, and hope. Yet sometimes they can make us cruel and bitter. Let's pray that in times of difficulty, we would not let our hearts be hardened, but we would seek God's comfort and healing. We can also learn a great deal by looking at the actions of King Solomon himself. The Bible tells us that after this episode with the women, Solomon's wisdom became known far and wide. And I think this story tells us a lot today about what wisdom from God looks like. Firstly, it's important to recognise that God didn't magically zap knowledge into Solomon's head. Sometimes I think we can act as if wisdom and guidance from God is like some sort of crystal ball. We ask God what to do, and we expect him to somehow beam the answer into our minds. Now, maybe that does happen on a few occasions, but it's not generally how God seems to work, and it's certainly not how he works for Solomon in today's story. When the women tell their story to Solomon, he finds himself in an impossible situation. Two women have both recently been pregnant and both recently had a baby. They're both saying the same story and nobody else was there to see what happened. But we see that God doesn't simply tell Solomon which woman was telling the truth. Instead, he equips Solomon with the wisdom to get to the truth himself. Solomon recognises that though both women have the same story, only one woman will love the child. And he comes up with a way to test that. I don't think Solomon was gambling with the child's life. I don't think he ever intended for the baby to be harmed. But he knew that only an extreme threat like this would reveal the truth. But the real essence of Solomon's wisdom is his ability to see the situation and the people around him through the eyes of God. And to understand this, we need to understand a little bit about who Solomon was, who the women were, and how their world was different from ours today. We already know that Solomon was king of Israel. And as king, he was the most important person in the land. He had ultimate power. Rulers today have to get the rest of the government to agree if they want to change the laws. And they can be challenged by judges or lawyers. But it wasn't like that for Solomon. Solomon could make laws and he could break laws and nobody had the power to stop him, even if that meant ordering the death of an innocent child. The two women, on the other hand, would have been among the lowest and most powerless people of their time. In Solomon's day, all women were less important than all men. But these two women had a particularly low standing. Most women would live in their father's house or their husband's house, but these women didn't. We're told that they lived in a house together by themselves. So they must have had no father and no husband to look after them. And that meant that they would have had to take care of themselves. As a woman in the ancient world, one of the only ways to do that would be by breaking the law, by doing things which were sinful. So not only were these women, but they were sinful women. Most people in Solomon's day would have seen these two women as worthless sinners who had brought their problems on themselves and would have wasted no time even listening to their story. And yet Solomon, the most important person in the land, sees them through God's eyes and takes the time to solve their dispute. The reason why Solomon is able to see a solution to the situation is because he sees these women as mothers rather than as sinners. As we think of Solomon's attitude here, it's really easy to see a similarity with the actions of Jesus as we read them in the Gospels. Jesus often went against the conventions of his time by showing kindness to women, slaves, and outsiders. He often shocked people around him by treating sinners with compassion, even those who didn't deserve it. Jesus saw the world around him through God's eyes. Solomon saw the women through God's eyes. And we today are called to see our lives and our world through God's eyes and to consider what that means for us. Who are the powerless and the weak in our world today? Do we ever refuse to help those in need because we feel that they've brought their problems on themselves? Do we ever fail to give help to someone who needs it because we're worried about what other people might think of us? Today's story has a lot to teach us about the condition of our hearts and minds. Let's be encouraged when we suffer difficulty, struggle, or loss in our own lives, to respond with the selflessness and love of the first woman, not with the anger and bitterness of the second. And let's be encouraged, like Solomon, to see the world and the people around us through God's eyes and to seek God's wisdom and guidance in all we do every day.